Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Factory Must Grow, Episode 6. Today we're going to be flying solo, streaming live on Twitch, and we're going to start with another mod spotlight, as usual, discuss the recent Factorio Friday facts, as always. I'm excited that we have that every week, at least until Space Age comes out. And then, today we're going to dive into the world of modded Minecraft, which is really the origin of this very genre, the factory automation genre. So, we'll start with the mod spotlight for today, though, and that's going to be Ultimate Alchemy for Minecraft. Yeah, it's not a Factorio mod today, because we're talking about Minecraft. I figured we should talk about a Minecraft mod. And this is a bit more of an overhaul mod than it is just like a quality of life mod that you would add to a pack. So a few details, and then we'll get into a little bit more about Minecraft. But Ultimate Alchemy is a mod pack that was created by RW Temma in October of 2018. And it's got, 120,000 downloads, which is a lot, but not crazy for a mod pack in Minecraft. It's on Minecraft 1.12, which is not quite as old as some other packs, but still fairly old by today's standards. It's a Skyblock map, so you start, you know, it's like C-Block in Factorio is inspired by Skyblock in Factorio, where you just start on a floating platform and you have to go from there. You do get some minor items and some infinite stuff, so it's not quite as bad as a classic Skyblock where you have to just grow trees. What it focuses on, though, is automation. And that's why I wanted to highlight it, is I think that if there's a pack, you know, that people who haven't played Minecraft before are interested in playing, I think Ultimate Alchemy could be a good one, partially because you automate a lot of things from the beginning. You don't have to play a lot of grindy mining through the core of the planet to get enough resources to start automating things. A lot of recipes are changed from, you know, what they normally would be in mod packs. You use forestry machines, tinker smeltery, thermal expansion machines. You work your way towards Batania and Thaumcraft, which are more in the magic mod direction, which is something that Factorio doesn't have, at least yet. Not really. I know certain mods, like the end of Space Exploration, gets a little, you know, towards magic, and I know I'm forgetting the name of it. Exotic Industries has a few things that might feel a bit in that direction, but compared to what Minecraft has, Factorio does not really have any magic mods, which I find interesting. Anyway, Ultimate Alchemy then kind of ends with Draconic Evolution to get towards the final goal of just a clay ball. Yep, it's just a piece of clay. That's all you need, and it's surprisingly difficult to make. But yeah, I've had a ton of fun with this pack so far. I've been playing a lot of it, and it's really enjoyable. One thing that I would say is tricky is there's no quest book. So if you've never done any modded Minecraft before, it could be a little tricky because you have to kind of dink around in JEI, which is the FNEI of Minecraft, which FNEI was inspired by JEI. So it's really, you know, the other way around. But yeah. It's the way that you can look around at recipes and items and figure out what do I need to make this and how does that make that. But unlike Factorio, you can't see everything that you need to see in JEI. So sometimes you have to Google things or sometimes you have to look at a wiki and sometimes those are out of date or for a different version of the mod you're using. And so it can be a little tricky, but other than that, I would highly recommend it. And you can easily download the whole pack together. I would recommend the Prism Launcher is a really nice launcher for modded Minecraft. You can just easily download packs from inside of it. It has an instance for that pack that you can then, you know, have your own settings and stuff. I would also recommend adding a backup mod to your download to the pack because it doesn't come with one. And yours truly experienced a way to crash the game. How did I do that? I'm trying to remember how I crashed the game. I was able to cause a mechanical user, which essentially emulates clicking on things. I gave it an acceleration wand, which essentially will accelerate whatever it clicks on by a bunch of ticks at once. And I somehow used an ender porcupine, which is a thing that lets you redirect one square to another square. So I essentially had it click on itself, and then that immediately, you know, accelerated a bunch of ticks, which then made it do a bunch more accelerations. And within like a few frames, it crashed. And the problem is it was saved like that. And so whenever I would restart the game, it would just immediately, you know, do some sort of crash again. So yeah, anyway, I would recommend a backup mod so you don't have to do MC edit like I did to remove it. Before we talk a little bit more about Minecraft, though, I do want to mention the Factorio Friday Facts, and then we'll get back to talking modded Minecraft, because I know that's a little different than our podcast so far. We've mostly been in the Factorio realm, or even the Satisfactory or Captain of Industry realm, but we're going to dive into Minecraft today, which is a little bit, I feel like it's a slightly adjacent category, so I'm excited about that. The Factorio Friday Facts, however, 408... it was called Statistics Improvements and Linux Adventures, and they two main categories, obviously, they improved the statistics page or production page, whatever it's called when you hit P, and it shows you, you know, how much you've produced over time. You can see the power graph you can't pull up with P, but you pull that up by clicking on a power pole. And they added some stuff that just makes a lot of sense for space age. For example, they mentioned you wanted a graph for accumulator charge levels, particularly on Fulgora, where the lightning strikes are powering your base, not knowing, you know, whether your accumulators are getting close to empty or not is kind of tricky. And so they added a graph for the actual charge level of accumulators. So you can see, you know, how empty are they getting over time, whereas in vanilla right now, the most that you can see is just whether or not your accumulators worked all the way through the night, and you can't actually find out if they got down to 20% or got down to 40%, you know, and so adding a graph for that is helpful because then you can know, like, ooh, I'm getting close to needing more accumulators. They also added... what's it called? The, like, for the production of science right now, you can see how many packs you're producing and how many packs you're consuming. And those are usually the same number if you're researching science constantly in Factorio. But what you can't see is how many packs worth of research you're actually researching. So what they did is they added this kind of fake item. I think it was called science. What was it called? I think it's just called science. And it kind of represents how many science units you actually research after productivity is applied. And that matters doubly so because A, productivity modules are going to have quality. And so you can have far more productivity bonus from the modules now, whereas previously 20% has been the most. So you could always pretty easily just be like, oh, it's a little bit more than what I'm producing is what I'll research. But now you're going to be able to get up to... I'm trying to remember what the bonus is. Was it 25% for the legendary productivity modules? I want to say they told us. Now I can't remember what it was. But you can obviously get more from that. And there's a research productivity research, which I think I said that right. You can research a technology that will add productivity to your research. And so between those two things, you're going to have large bonuses. And it won't be quite as easy to know, you know, how many purple packs do I need to produce to finish this technology that requires 10,000 purple packs? It might be only 6,000 purple packs, something like that. So they added that to the ability to see on the graph, and you can, you know, see how many units you've produced over the last minute, 10 minutes, 1 hour, all the different timestamps. Finally, they added the ability to separate out the graphs by quality. Now that quality is a new mechanic, you're like, oh, well, I know I'm getting 1,000 iron plates a minute, but how many uncommon iron plates am I getting per minute? And now you can just sort by uncommon only. You can also select it so that it shows all of the different qualities separately. So you can look at just your iron plates, but you can see a different color on the graph for each different quality, which is nice. One other thing is it's per surface. So when you're looking at your production graph, you can see, oh, I'm producing this much iron on Fulgora and I'm producing this much iron on Nauvis, and they're two separate numbers. You can also do a global. They say you can select a global production if you want, which I think is kind of funny because the word global is talking about the globe, which is just one planet. So I feel like they need to call it universal production or something, because global doesn't really capture the fact that you're producing on many different planets. But the global button allows you to see on all of the surfaces, on all of the planets, including on space, how many iron plates am I making, for example. So they do allow you to see all those different things. So that's nice. I think these are all great changes. I don't know if any of them are kind of groundbreaking. I think they're all changes that feel, in my opinion, necessary by Space Age. And I think that's why they added them, is they're like, oh, this, our current production graph is not giving us what we need to play Space Age. So we need to add some more features that allow us to know what we need to know. What I don't think they did is add features that we want. And not to say that I'm separating out need and want to be different things. They added what we needed, and I don't think they added any more than that. So there are some features that I've wanted for a long time that they didn't add. Not to say that they would know what those are, but I don't feel like they added any, like, oh, I didn't even know I needed that, and now the production graph can do that for me. I didn't feel that way about any of these changes. All these changes were like, yeah, okay, I mean, it's good that they did that, because if they hadn't done that, it would have been really annoying to play Space Age without it. It kind of felt like those types of changes. And I don't want to be a complainer or be negative about this. They are great changes, and they accommodate the new Space Age gameplay really well. But the one feature that I really wish we had that I've wanted many times, particularly in mod packs where power generation isn't quite as simple, is the ability to look at your average power consumption over time. And you can't do that right now. When you're looking at your power graph, you can see the average consumption for each entity. So you can see, oh, my steam engines have produced, you know, if you click the 10-minute button, you can see that your steam engines have produced 20 megawatts, and that is an average over the last 10 minutes. But you can't see the whole base, or that power network, I guess, put together over the last 10 minutes on average. It always just shows you the instantaneous along the bars at the top. It just shows you the instant, like, at this very moment, how much power are you producing and consuming. So that's always felt a little weird to me, that you can't see average production and consumption over, you know, whatever timestamp you select. So that's one feature I really wish was added, and maybe they still could. Who knows? I did post it on Reddit. Maybe I'll get lucky and a dev will read it and it'll get added. But yeah, those are the main features that they added, nothing else. And then the next portion of the Friday. Okay, we're back. Had a power outage. That was weird. So, I was just talking about how Rygaard wrote a 20-page essay, and it was a lot of words about Linux stuff, and I understood about, I don't know, 10% of it. But the important part is that if you're a Linux user, know that you are in good hands with Factorio. And one of the best features that both Mac and Linux users get, but not Windows users get, is non-pausing saves. And he explained how what it essentially does is it forks the game into two games, and one of them is saving, and the other one is the one you're playing. And I think that's really cool. And when he explained it that way, I'm like, but why can't Windows do that? You know, it seems like that should be possible, but it must be something about the underlying architecture of the operating system. I don't know. I'm not a software developer, so I can't answer that. But anyway, yep, he talks about Linux stuff, and if you're interested in Linux, go read all that. It will be very interesting to you. And that was it for the FFF. So let's get back to Minecraft. Before we dive into some more of the specific details about modded Minecraft, I want to just kind of hit on what I think will be an elephant in the room to some people, because Factorio is a game that's popular with software developers and, to be honest, a bit of an older crowd than Minecraft usually is, right? A lot of people see Minecraft and they think it's a kid's game because it was popularized and had a lot of popularity with, you know, not even just the younger generation, but like literal like kids, like 7, 8-year-olds, you know, playing on a tablet kind of thing. And so a lot of people see Minecraft and they think it's a kid's game. Why would I play a kid's game? Yada, yada. And, you know, to be fair, like sometimes Minecraft is marketed towards kids for sure, but it's not necessarily like only a kid's game. And it's just like Lego, right? Adults can play with Legos too. And I think we make this connection in our mind that because kids like something a lot, adults shouldn't or can't. And I think that's a really short-sighted way to view life. Not only that, but like as an adult, shouldn't you try to have fun like a kid once in a while too? You know, and so like there's a lot of elements to that. But all this to say, especially modded Minecraft is very much, you know, Greg Tech New Horizons is not a kid's game. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But just to start with the history a little bit of Minecraft, because, once it got millions and millions and millions of sales, yes, it definitely was marketed more towards adolescents and, you know, younger teens and stuff. But its infancy was very much not a kid's game. I started playing Minecraft, and I'm going to go full hipster here. I played Minecraft back in the in-dev version, which was one of the very first versions of Minecraft. I mean, it didn't have an infinite map. It didn't have anything. I remember when ladders were added to the game. Like, when I started playing Minecraft, ladders didn't even exist in in-dev. And so, yeah, that was around the end of 2009. And there was a counter on the website for Minecraft that showed you how many people had bought the game. I think it was only $10 back then, maybe 15. And it was under 10,000. You know, like I was one of the first few thousand people to play Minecraft. And so it feels weird to have such a hipster connection to one of the most popular games of all time. But it was not a kid's game back then. It was an obscure internet game that it was mostly, you know, younger adults that found it and were interested in it. And, you know, it got more and more complex. You know, I remember they added the infinite, it was just Notch. Notch added the infinite map generation, and then that was really cool. And I mean, honestly, that really changed the game once the map was infinite. Before it was infinite, there was just an invisible wall. You would select the map size when you started. You could do 64 by 64, 128 by 128, 256 by 256, I think was the biggest. I don't think there was a 512. And it was only 64 blocks deep. So the height limit was much smaller. And yeah, you could just, there was an invisible wall. So you were kind of just in this box. You were in a cube and you couldn't go outside your little cube. And it was just all kind of air past that. And so then inf dev, which is hard to say, but it's in dev with an F in it to represent infinity. That was revolutionary because you could just walk however far you wanted in any direction. And so the procedural generation, you know, started there and kept going. Anyway, I didn't play Minecraft super long. I played it quite a bit back in those days in 2010. And probably sometime in 2011, I kind of fell off the map with the game. Just, you know, wasn't as interested playing it. I was never one for huge sandbox projects, so I didn't have a ton of interest. And, you know, I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I kind of just, you know, played other games. And then over time, it was weird because I started to notice like it was showing up more and more. And then, you know, it was marketed towards kids and there's creeper plushies and, you know, diamond swords made out of cardboard that kids are running around with. And I started to feel a little bit of this like protectiveness inside of myself. I'm like, no, like this was my hipster thing. You can't do this. But then I realized, no, I can't gatekeep. This is great. Like, I'm glad that this game is so big and as big as it is. But yeah, somewhere in, I don't know, 2018 or 2019, I found out about modded Minecraft. And at some point I remember having seen that Factorio was inspired from modded Minecraft, but I had never really looked into the modded Minecraft scene. I didn't even know that automation existed really in modded Minecraft. I just assumed it was still a game about, you know, going to the Nether and then going to the End and then defeating the Wither and making a beacon and all this stuff. And I thought that's kind of what there was to it. I knew there were Minecraft mods, but I didn't even know kind of what they entailed. But, you know, I had seen that Factorio was inspired by modded Minecraft. I didn't, however, look into that. So it wasn't until 2018 or 2019 that I had heard about OmniFactory. And OmniFactory was kind of my introduction to this world of like, oh, Minecraft is far more than just a like sandbox block building game. Because that's what, especially back then, that's all Minecraft was. They've added a lot more, you know, they have an achievement log, and there's kind of a progression now in Minecraft, which there very much was not when I played it. And so I was like, oh, there's like a Factorio type game here. So I downloaded OmniFactory, and I was struck with how cool it was. There were so many just intricate machines and connections and ways to connect machines. And OmniFactory uses a little bit of Greg tech, which is kind of known to be the Pyanodons type thing of Minecraft. And so I was just kind of blown away. I was like, I didn't know this existed. And I thought Minecraft, you know, again, was just kind of this game that kids loved and you defeated the Wither and that's all there was to it. I knew there was a little bit more than that under the hood, but I'd never looked into it. So all this to say, if you're like me and haven't really looked into Minecraft at all or played Minecraft at all, I definitely recommend, as a fan of factory and automation games, which I assume you are if you're listening to this podcast, you should look into modded Minecraft. It may or may not be for you. It's not for everybody, but I definitely think you should look into it. So yeah, fast forward, you know, from I played OmniFactory a while back, then I played NomiFactory a while later, which is kind of a newer version of OmniFactory, and tried a few other Minecraft mods, watched a little bit of modded Minecraft YouTubers, and that's been good, like Chosen Architect and Direwolf and Threefold. So there's a lot of content out there, and some of it's better than others, but yeah, there's a lot of good content if you're interested in just seeing what it's about without having to try it for yourself. But yeah, all this to say, I would definitely recommend it. I think Twitch is dropping some frames right now, which is wonderful. Did I lose internet connection again? You know, sometimes the podcast just does weird things, and this is one of those days. But for all of you listening on Spotify later, you'll get to hear some of these technical difficulties, I think. I think we're back. So anyway, modded Minecraft, pretty amazing. Highly recommend it. That's all I'll say about the base game. Let's talk a little bit more about some specifics. Why modded Minecraft when you could play Satisfactory or Factorio? One big element that is a very sharp double-edged sword is you are responsible for every cubic meter of the world you're in. This is not the case in Factorio. This is not the case in Satisfactory. And it's really not the case in Dyson Sphere Program. The only other game that is just about to come out that has the same type of element is going to be Foundry, has the cubic kind of voxel system that Minecraft has. And it is both a great feature and a terrible feature, because in Factorio, you know, first of all, it's two-dimensional. You don't really have any depth. The only depth you have is underground belts, and that's just to allow belts to cross. So I don't really count that. And so being 2D, there's really not any sense of having to organize the spaghetti up and down. You still have to organize it left and right, you know, and east and west or north and south type thing, but it's way easier to handle. You can copy paste things. Bots build things automatically. There's really just a lot of efficient and easy building. So if your goal is, I want to just build a factory and I want to build it easily and quickly, and I don't really care about the world and how it looks and movement and design, then Factorio is the game for you. Because really the only way to make a Factorio base look good is to design the factory well. There's not really aesthetics. I guess you can get like some of the colored concrete mods, but that's really nothing compared to what you can do in games like Satisfactory and Minecraft, where there's this 3D world and you can build it to be shaped however you want. But even in Satisfactory, it's very different because you have really just a few main elements. There's the actual assembler type buildings, you know, and there's more than just one type, but there's really nothing you can do with them. You can plop down an assembler, you can plop down a smelter, and there's nothing else you can do. You build it. And you can build them on top of, what are they called? Foundations. And there's a little bit of foundation grid snapping you can do. But overall, Satisfactory is this blend of a smooth 3D world and a little bit of a cubic, you know, grid-based voxel world when you're trying to build things lined up with each other. But it's still mostly freeform in Satisfactory. And, you know, if you want your base to look nice, you have to be pretty careful to do things like that. And, you know, a foundation is probably the equivalent of, like, I don't know, 8x8 blocks in Minecraft, and one assembler in Satisfactory is a very large multi-block in modded Minecraft. So the difference is placing every block individually. And there are some quality of life mods in Minecraft. Don't let me get you too scared. There are some things that let you build more easily, or even there are some mods that allow you to pseudo blueprint things and paste those blueprints. So it's not all just placing one block at a time, but most of it is placing one block at a time. And there's a very different feel to that. Sometimes it can get annoying, but I actually think there's something really cool about building it piece by piece and then looking at the finished result of your base and feeling proud of it. And you're like, this might be a mess, but it's my mess. And there's something really fun about that. And I very much enjoy looking at my Minecraft nonsense and being like, I made this. It's horrible, but I made it and it works. But yeah, with modded Minecraft, the machines are usually just single block machines. There are these things called multi-blocks where you put a bunch of blocks together and then they combine into one large machine. But a lot of the machines just take up one block, and you can, a lot of the logistics tend to be through item pipes rather than conveyors. There is a mod called Create that allows you to build conveyor belts similar to what Satisfactory has, and items can pop onto them and, you know, go along, and then you can connect little kind of mergers and splitters and things like that, and machines can pull items off the conveyor. So there is a little bit of that type of thing in modded Minecraft, but more of it is done through pipes, and there are no construction bots or logistics bots generally. You get this system in most mod packs called Applied Energistics that allows you to kind of shove everything into one data drive area, and then you can pull items out of that data drive area from anywhere, and so it kind of works like a logistics system in Factorio. There are so many different mods in Minecraft. It's really hard to describe how different it is than Factorio or Satisfactory, because there's not just, I don't know, I feel like the types of mods that exist are so much more varied in Minecraft. Some of that is due to the capability of what you can mod. Factorio's engine is locked down pretty tight, and modders can only do so much. You know, a mod like Space Exploration really pushed the limits of what's even possible in Factorio. And so coming up with really novel and different systems is a little bit harder in Factorio than it is in Minecraft. So that's part of it. I also think Minecraft has had a lot longer to cook, obviously, since, you know, it's been around since 2010. Technically before 2010, but more or less, you know, 2010, if we're rounding. And yeah, so all this to say, modded Minecraft is very different, very fun. I highly recommend you check it out. Especially if you like Satisfactory and you like that three-dimensional building of your base, because you have to be able to move around your base in Minecraft and you have to design it such that, you know, oh, I want these machines to be closer to each other because I have to walk in between them a lot. And, you know, I need a good walkway here, or I have a jetpack, so now I can go vertical. So let me build a couple more floors to my factory. Things like that, you know, is very similar to Satisfactory. Mining is very different. In Satisfactory, you know, you just have infinite ore nodes and your miners do all that for you. There's very little manual mining, and pretty much all of it's at the beginning of the game. In Minecraft, depending on the mod, sometimes there's manual mining for many, 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 many hours. And if you don't like that, then find some of the mods that don't have you doing that, such as the one I mentioned, Ultimate Alchemy. There's no manual mining because it's Skyblock. And so it's all about these infinitely generated cobblestone and wood blocks that you have at the beginning, and you just automate everything from those blocks, which is pretty cool. I've been corrected about logistics bots, by the way. There is a mod called Pneumaticraft that has logistics bots. So apparently there's even such a thing as that. But yeah, all this to say, you spend a lot more time fiddling in Minecraft is the word I would use. In Factorio, it's mostly about progression. And I guess that's true in some sense for all games, but it's more like I'm currently working towards a new goal. And, you know, if you're doing stuff with circuits, sometimes that can be pretty fiddly in Factorio. But more or less with Factorio, if you plop it down, you know how it's going to work before you plop it down. And by plop, I mean a blueprint or build that you're about to do. And once you build it, it works the way you expect it to work. There's very few interactions in Factorio that happen that are unexpected, because you know how belts work, you know how inserters work, you know how machines work. Sometimes you didn't do the math properly and maybe you need an extra inserter or something like that, or you just built it wrong and a belt isn't, you know, going into the right spot. But more or less, things work the way you expect, and there's not a bunch of these hidden mechanics and things like that. You know, when you're dealing with some stuff with Pyanodons, there's a few mechanics that, you know, you might not realize until you get there, like how the reproductive complex doesn't work at all until you put modules into it. But that's consistent across all of Pyanodons, and once you understand that, you're good to go. So most of modded Factorio, you know, you don't really need to Google anything to know how it's going to work. You don't need to experiment with it to know how it's going to work. You just kind of know the game elements and you know how they work together, and you can easily see the result even just from looking at a blueprint of how it would work. This is not the case in modded Minecraft. Modded Minecraft is putting together dozens, sometimes literally hundreds of mods, often, you know, removing items from some, changing recipes for some, and you don't know how they're all going to work together. You know, some buildings automatically push their items out to the blocks besides them. Some don't. Some buildings automatically pull in. Some don't. There's nowhere you can just see that. And a lot of it is kind of this knowledge data bank that you start to build up in your head. And starting out, it can be really overwhelming. And I know when I started modded Minecraft, it actually frustrated me because I was expecting it to feel more like Factorio, where I kind of can just figure out how something works. And I was getting frustrated because I couldn't figure out how it works from just looking at JEI or looking at the buildings or even sometimes Googling it. Sometimes I had to find a video of someone setting something up to figure out how it worked. So there is a little bit of that kind of built up knowledge over the course of years with Minecraft mods. And if you haven't done that, if you're like me and you didn't really get into modded Minecraft until recently, there will be a little bit of a learning curve. And I just am saying, be ready for that. It's not unfun. You just have to be expecting it. And you have to be expecting to do some Googling. You have to be expecting to ask questions. You know, head over to the Crydania Discord. We have a lot of people there that know a lot about modded Minecraft. They've helped me a ton. Salsa and Qvist helped me a ton with Ultimate Alchemy, and I needed lots of help because I'm like, how does this thing work? And sometimes I forget even how basic Minecraft stuff works. And yeah, so with modded Minecraft, it really is kind of this hodgepodge. And the mod pack creator generally does a good job of making that hodgepodge of mods work together. That's why the popular mod packs get popular, is because they're done well. But it still isn't quite this cohesive experience that something like Pyanodons or Space Exploration or Nullius, you know, all of these Factorio packs are these cohesive experiences. And I would say it doesn't quite feel that way in modded Minecraft. It is a little bit, you know, people say like, oh, what about Bob's Angels? That's two different packs put together. And it's like, yeah, that's true. The overlap between them is real, you know, and there had to be some compatibility that got done mostly, I think, on the Angels side to kind of remove some of the Bob's recipes so that you don't have two recipes for the same item, things like that. But, you know, that's just a small bit of what you get with modded Minecraft, where it's like sometimes you get a dozen mods that might have their own recipe for an iron plate in modded Minecraft. And then, you know, the mod pack maker has to either disable half of them or change some of them. Or yeah, it's weird. There's different power systems between modded Minecraft. There's different item transportation systems. Sometimes you'll have five different types of item pipes and you're like, which one should I actually use? So it can get a little bit messy. But I do think it's really cool, and being able to build your base piece by piece, being able to automate things in Minecraft is really satisfying. It's on a much smaller scale often than Factorio or Satisfactory, but it's really satisfying in a way that is hard to describe until you play it yourself. You know, you could watch some people play Nomi Factory or Greg Tech or something, and I think you'd see a little bit of that joy of when you finally get it running, it feels so good. And there's also exploration in Minecraft, which doesn't really exist at all in Factorio, and it only semi-exists in Satisfactory with it being a fixed map. Whereas Minecraft, you have this procedural map that's actually interesting to explore. And there's all sorts of different biomes. Mods add all sorts of different buildings and new biomes, usually, and new plants and animals and mobs. And so there's a lot of cool stuff, and there are entire packs focused around just exploration even. So Minecraft is far more of a, I would almost say the genre of modded Minecraft is far broader than just factory automation, right? And I'm focusing on the factory automation genre within modded Minecraft because that's what inspired Factorio, and I would argue in many ways inspired the whole genre itself. But there's a lot more genres within Minecraft, and often a mod pack in Minecraft has some of those elements, even in an automation focused one. So, you know, if you're someone that likes a little bit of not just automating things all the time, then there are a lot of awesome mod packs for you. So yeah, all this to say, highly recommend it. As far as particular mod packs that I would recommend you play, one of them is the Ultimate Alchemy that I already talked about. That one is a little tricky because there's no quest book. So if it's your very first one, just be ready to ask some questions about what to do next or where to look. There is a lot of looking around in JEI in that pack. Nomi Factory is a really well done pack that has a really good quest book. So if you're not familiar with modded Minecraft, Nomi Factory is a great place to start. It is a big pack, so unless you're in it for a long haul, you might not beat it the first time you try it, but it would be a good introduction to some of the ways that modded Minecraft works. Now, I haven't talked about it much yet, but there's one called Greg Tech New Horizons, and that is the big mama. That is the Pyanodons, and in fact, I would even say it's another class entirely. I think I underestimated how big this pack was when I first heard about it, and as I've been watching Threefold and his playthrough of Greg Tech New Horizons and done some more Googling on it, I've realized how big of a pack it is. I think it's over 5,000 hours at best. And that's at best. Pyanodons is often in the 1,000 to 2,000 hours for people that have beat it. And I think some people have beat it under 1,000 hours who have been trying to go faster. I think Bold Viking took over 2,000 hours, but, you know, he didn't have any quality of life mods and was just, you know, he wasn't going for speed in the first place. But all that's to say, Greg Tech is like at least three times that. And, you know, for someone that's a new player, it would be maybe 8,000 hours. So it's not a mod pack that you set out to beat. And that's one interesting comment I've seen a lot of people talking about, is it's a pack you play for life. And people talk about, like, it's really about the journey and not about the destination. And I've felt a little bit of that even with Pyanodons as I've been playing it. Like, it's not about beating the pack. I may beat the pack eventually, but what's fun is the systems that exist within that pack fit really well with what you enjoy doing. And so if your goal is to, oh, I want to beat it, then yeah, it's very grindy and slow and horrible. But if your goal is, I want to have fun and I want to keep discovering new content, well, Greg Tech New Horizons is great for you because you're not going to run out of content, probably ever. And you'll be one of the very few people who have ever beat it if you do end up beating it. But that's not really what you should set out to do, unless you really know what you're doing, because most people won't beat it. You know, even people who say, like, oh, I'm committed, I'm going to beat the pack, they usually burn out because it's just so long and ridiculous. And to be honest, I think that's pretty cool that such a pack exists. And I think Factorio Pyanodons is definitely in that direction, but it's not quite to the same level that Greg Tech is. So I definitely wouldn't recommend that as a first pack. I mean, it could be fun because the quest book explains things, but the recipes are pretty terrible. So I wouldn't say, if it's your first foray into modded Minecraft, Greg, Tech New Horizons, probably not for you. I think Nomi Factory is a great place to start if you're interested in Greg Tech, because Nomi Factory uses the Greg Tech machines and systems. So if you wanted to check out Greg Tech New Horizons, I think Nomi Factory, at least for a few dozen hours, would be a minimum place to start, so you can at least understand how some of the stuff works without the horrible grind. I mean, even a crafting table in Greg Tech is not simple. In Factorio, you may know, you can punch one tree block and you get that wood block, you turn it into four planks, and you've got yourself a crafting table. Not true in Greg Tech. It is, you need flint, and you only can get flint from gravel. So you have to find a bunch of gravel, and wood recipe is nerfed, and it's ridiculous. So yeah, if you're looking for ridiculous, then Greg Tech might be for you. But if you're looking for less ridiculous, check with stuff, check with stuff like Nomi Factory. And yeah, I'm being reminded that we're talking about Greg Tech New Horizons specifically here, not just Greg Tech. Greg Tech is a much broader category of just like the machines themselves. Greg Tech New Horizons is the giant massive pack that takes 10 billion hours to beat, and you basically could do anything else with your life and be a master at it with the amount of time you would put into Greg Tech. You know, what do they say? 10,000 hours makes you a professional. So, you know, lots of people are going to be a professional by the time they beat Greg Tech New Horizons. Anyway, those are some of my musings about modded Minecraft. I think it's pretty sweet to kind of look into the origins of the genre, and you can see even sometimes some direct inspirations that, you know, get into things like Factorio or Satisfactory and vice versa. The Create mod in particular is one of the coolest ones. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's really cool because you can place blocks that then turn into moving machines. For example, you know, a basic one would be to plant a bunch of saplings, and then you can create a spinning saw that will cut down the trees once they grow automatically and put them into an inventory. And the machines don't move, you know, one block at a time, like pistons in vanilla Minecraft, where it's like kind of blocky movement. It's actually smooth movement from these spinning and moving machines. And that's actually really cool. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, the Create Above and Beyond mod pack is pretty neat, because you can make all these fancy moving machines that do really cool stuff in Minecraft, which is all about blocky movement. So I really like that it kind of broke the mold. I don't know how they did it. It almost seems like something that would be impossible, but it works. So highly recommend that. But yeah, those are most of my thoughts on modded Minecraft. If you have more thoughts, please head over to the Crydania Discord. We've got a lot of people there that are really into modded Minecraft, and I highly recommend asking questions there if you're interested in getting into it. There will also be a playthrough that I'm doing that will be released to YouTube sometime in the near-ish future for modded Minecraft, so you can keep an eye out for that. And yeah, let me see if there's any viewer questions to get to for today, and then we can wrap up the cast. Let's see. One question that B. Jonas asked a little while ago. When Woob is developing Factorio Space Age, which parts of Factorio should they try to keep unchanged, and which ones should they change? Is it important that most of the early game and mid game remain unchanged, or should/can they shake it up? If so, should that only be for Space Age games, or games without Space Age? So that they're asking, like, essentially, should they change the iron plate recipe? And if they do, would that only apply to Space Age games, or would that be a patch that gets released to all Factorio players? And that's an interesting question. So for those that don't know, when they release Space Age, there's going to be a patch that comes along with it. I think they've called it Factorio 1.2. I can't remember. I don't think it's technically Factorio 2.0. But when that patch comes out, the game will be improved for non-purchasers of the DLC. And there's a lot of argument about DLC versus expansion. You can fight me about it, but they're the same thing. Whatever. I think that people mean different things when they say different ones, but nobody can agree on what each one means. So as far as I'm concerned, they're synonymous, and you can fight me. Anyway, when the DLC comes out, people who don't buy it will still have a lot of improvements to their game. The engine gets improved. I think a lot of the modding tools that they're adding will also be for the vanilla base game. And so all that to say, if the recipes change in any of the stuff that comes before rockets, which I'm guessing some of them will, because they're going to get to rocket launches earlier, will those recipe changes apply to Base Factorio? And I'm guessing they won't. I'm imagining Base Factorio will stay the same, and I believe it should stay the same. I don't think, because if they're changing recipes, they're changing them because the design of that tech tree needs changing for Space Age, and that obviously wouldn't apply to a non-Space Age game. So as far as things changing for the base version, I don't think they should, and I don't think they will. I could be wrong, who knows, but that's what I'm guessing. And as to the question of what should they try to keep the same, that's actually really interesting, because obviously change is fun, change is interesting. Like, would you prefer to have a new recipe for, you know, I don't know, let's say something like an electric furnace, something a little more, like, I doubt they're going to change iron plates, right? I doubt they're going to change copper plates. But something like an electric furnace, that's late enough in the tech tree that, you know, maybe they do subtract a couple circuits from it or make it require, because doesn't it need concrete right now instead of stone brick? So maybe they go back to something simpler like stone brick so that you can, you know, unlock a few more things before you get to the earlier rocket launches that you're going to do in Space Age. So I am guessing they're going to make the early game a bit more streamlined to get to rockets, and make things a bit cheaper to get to rockets. And that will probably mean some recipe changes. I know they've mentioned a few things along that line, like the rocket control unit thing. I don't remember what they said about... Oh, wait. Twitch chat is helping me remember. Oh, yeah, there's no rocket control unit at all anymore. There you go. That's the kind of thing that I think we'll see a little bit more of. But I do think keeping the base game mostly the same is going to be good. A lot of people are going to want to copy their blueprints from Vanilla Factorio into the early game. A lot of people are going to have their muscle memory for the early game. And if you're constantly having to remember, oh, wait, the inserter doesn't need a gear. It needs this new iron rod that they added. I think that'll just be more confusing than it is helpful. I think given how good the base game for Factorio already is, I think keeping things as unchanged as possible is good. And just streamlining what needs to be streamlined to get to the Space Age itself quicker. And I think that's my opinion. You know, as far as like what they'll actually do, I guess we'll find out. We already know of a couple changes, but not very many. You know, the rocket control unit thing, which just gets you easier rockets. Someone just mentioned, yeah, filter inserters are being removed. That one feels less like a change to the tech tree and more just like a game improvement. But yeah, I'm very excited for Space Age. Let's see, any other questions? Do we have time for any other questions? I think we'll wrap up the podcast there. We'll get to some more questions next week. If you have any questions for the podcast, feel free to hit me up either on the Twitch channel or the Crydania Discord. There should be a link in the podcast description. And like I said, if you're interested in modded Minecraft, please feel free to ask questions. I know lots of us would love to help you out. And it's a really fun world. And there's a lot more there than I think most people know. It's not just a game where you run around and kill, you know, zombies and skeletons and creepers. So if you're interested in another automation game, modded Minecraft could be the one for you. All this to say, we'll wrap up the episode. Episode 6. Can't believe we're already 6 episodes in. It's going fast, week after week. If you'd like to support the podcast, head over to patreon.com/crydax. I'm so thankful to all my patrons. You guys really help keep things running, keep the lights on, except when the power goes out like it did in this episode, but that has nothing to do with being able to pay the bills. Just bad electric company, I guess. Next week, we'll stream the cast at the standard time of 11 a.m. Eastern, which is 3 p.m. UTC. And if you have any questions, ideas for topics, or ideas for guests I could have on the podcast, head over to the Crydania Discord and let me know. I'll put a link in the description. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next week. Always remember, the factory must grow.